Welcome back, everyone, to the front line with Joe and Joe. Joe Pasillo and Joe Resinello.
Oh, you're exactly right, Joe.
We work for the man upstairs, as you do.
You're setting me up quite well. You just gave me an alley-oop.
The greatest revolutionary act you can commit right now is to open your mouth and speak the truth.
Whether you're an academic or you're a regular guy, we have to be fearless.
And once more, dear brothers and sisters, let us go into the breach. Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the front line with Joe and Joe. Joe Pasillo, as always, joined by Joe Resinello. And once more, dear brothers and sisters, let us go into the breach on the Veritas Catholic Radio Network, 1350 on your AM dial, 103.9 on your FM dial, spreading the truth of the Catholic faith to the New York City metropolitan area. You know what I'm going to ask you? Download the app, share it with your friends. You'll have access to all of our station's content. And if you like what Joe and I do, please, wherever you see this video on social media, Rumble, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, like, smash the subscribe button, share it with your friends. You're going to want to share this one. Joe and I say all the time that we're going into the breach. Well, we are going into the breach on a much higher level today, because we're going to be discussing anti-Catholic crime in America. Is it a myth or is it reality? Are we just crybaby Catholics who don't have thick skin, or do we have legit concerns? And so we needed to talk to somebody who knows a little bit something about this, or maybe a lot about it. And that's Dr. Charles Nemeth, who's a friend of the program. We're welcoming him back, and we're going to have this conversation. Dr. Nemeth has been an educator for more than 40 years, has spent the vast majority of his professional life in the study and practice of law and justice. In addition, he's published over 50 textbooks and references across multiple editions, and is a recognized expert on professional ethics and the justice system, private sector justice, and private security concerns. He is a professor and director of criminal justice and the director of Center for Criminal Justice Law and Ethics at Franciscan University of Steubenville in Steubenville, Ohio. Prior to this, he was chair and professor of security, fire, and emergency management, and director of the Center of Private Security and Safety at John Jay College in New York City. At present, Dr. Nemeth continues his association with John Jay College as professor emeritus. He has also served as chief editor to a peer-reviewed journal, the Homeland Security Review, and is now editor-in-chief of Natural Law and Justice. Dr. Charles Nemeth, welcome back to the front line with Joe and Joe, brother.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to talk to such bright people as you two are.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Some of our critics might not think we're bright, but we don't care. Joe Resinello, where do you want to go?
We'll start with the prayer, Doc, and then we'll get into it. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who sought your help or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto you, a virgin of virgins, our mother. To you we come, for you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your clemency hear and answer us. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Doc, as Joe said, we're going to talk about anti-Catholic crime in America, myth or reality. Now, these are statistics. According to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, at least 262 instances have occurred across 43 states in the District of Columbia since May of 2022. Now, what are these instances? Arson, the beheading of saint statues, defacing gravestones, anti-Catholic language, and alike. In your view, what's driving this? Because to be honest with you, Doc, the mainstream media really is not covering it.
You just a point of clarification, you left off many other offenses as well. One of the more current offenses is the sacrilegious activity on altars or inside of churches. And these are trespass cases, and most of the time nothing happens with it. What's driving it? Well, there certainly is an anti-religious attitude across the great 50 states. And there are justice agencies, particularly at the federal level, who've decided that they're going to target the more traditional sector of religious groups. It's not totally unique to Catholics, though. I think Catholics get the brunt of it. And I think the reason they do is because they hold fast to the magisterial teachings of the Catholic Church, but also Western tradition. The evangelicals get it as well. So do the Orthodox Jews. And even the Orthodox Muslims now are getting pounded by the very same forces that you just mentioned. It's the, I often call it the The enemies of the new republic are people who make moral judgments, who declare that certain kinds of behaviors are right or wrong. And these people must be eliminated so the agenda of the far leftists can advance. So it is kind of a mix of hatred of religion, but it's also governmental. It's the power brokers that want to eliminate all their enemies. And to be sure, we have become enemies of the new order.
Right. Dr. Charles Nemeth is joining us here at the front line with Joe and Joe. We're discussing anti-Catholic crime in America. And there is crime going on. That's why we have Charles here to talk about it. I am of the opinion, Dr. Nemeth, I've said this a million times on the show. Most of the American people, if you look at it from a political point of view, all right, when the elections come up and everything else, abortion is not very high on the list. Okay. As far as like what people vote for. We do as faithful Catholics. Okay. But in general in America, it's crime, it's taxes, it's the economy, things like that. Abortion's on the list, but it's not at the top. I am of the opinion, and Joe's of the opinion, abortion is at the top of the list for the elites. That is their issue. Okay. And that is why they hate the Catholic Church. Okay. Now you mentioned other groups, but their target is squarely on the backs of Catholics. Why? Because after 1 year, after Roe versus Wade was decided on, Nellie Gray started the March for Life. And for 50 years, Catholics have spearheaded, not solely, but spearheaded the pro-life movement in America. Therefore, the sin of Catholics is, as you said, how dare you stand in our way to put forth our agenda, central to which is abortion. Talk about that, please. Talk about the leak with Roe versus Wade, the violence we saw after that, and just how important abortion is for our enemies.
Well, I think the abortion is the centerpiece of the resistance to Catholicism, but all religious thought that is traditional or religious thought that values and treasures human life. This is the great enemy of the secular state, the abortion argument. I often tell my friends that are allegedly liberal that there is a three-pronged test for how to become a Democrat today. One is, of course, abortion is at the very top of the list. The second issue is being gay, being transgendered, other sexual personas that none of us can predict are going to happen over the next 10 years. And the last one is drugs. So all three, that's the platform of the modern antagonists to religious groups, because all three of these things, with abortion at the very head of it, get in the way of the hedonistic secular behavior that is driving it. Why else are we legalizing drugs in all the states? Why else is same-sex marriage now given when less than 10 years ago was not a given? So all of these things are attacks against Catholicism, because Catholicism holds fast to the sanctity of life. It holds fast to the sanctity of marriage. And if you're a natural law thinker, you're going to resist the legalization of drugs, because all drugs are confrontations with your natural order. So I think it becomes a larger thing than just abortion, but even though I think that's the catalyst, that's the thing that drives them insane, because it's a restriction on their their form of sexual birth control, which should have never happened in the first place with abortion. But I also think these other things play into it. And this is why libertarianism is so dangerous as well, because the libertarians never make moral judgments. They always make that really passive, horrible argument that as long as it doesn't bother me, you shouldn't worry about it. But yet the very fact is that all three things bother us. We're seeing the consequences of it right now: the devaluation of human life, the lack of respect for human dignity, whether you're in the fetus, earliest stages, or the old. The rise of euthanasia, all of the things that we see attacking us are because we make moral judgments about the propriety of certain behaviors. And that's why we're their greatest enemy. That's why they hate us so much, because at least on paper, the Catholic tradition is antagonistic to all three of these, especially with abortion at the very top of the list.
Joe Racinello, let me follow up for a second,
please,
real quick,
please,
with Dr.
Please.
Charles Nemeth. This is I want to stay on this for a second for our audience. If you're just joining us here, Dr. Charles Nemeth, we're discussing anti-Catholic crime in America. Is it a myth or is it reality? talk about, you mentioned restrictions, okay? And we want to, I want to ask your opinion on this, see what you think, let our audience know. The Catholic Church proposes true freedom because the only true freedom is the freedom that you find in Christ. Obviously, it seems paradoxical, but nonetheless, if you're a slave to Christ, you're actually free. Those who would propose what you just described, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll culture, it reminds you of the Romans when they said, just throw them bread in circuses, okay? They are your slave masters. They're not offering you freedom. When you dive deep into the sexual liberation movement and now the drug culture, you're a slave. Whether you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and you think you're free, you're a slave. And the Catholic Church, because of these, yes, behavioral restrictions, okay, is promoting your real and true authentic freedom as a human person. Give me your comments on what I just said, Dr. Nemeth.
Well, aside from them being brilliantly poignant, they're also could be looked at from the perspective of our own natural operations. Everything that the left wants to do is a confrontation with our natural order. This is why the Catholic Church has always put its foundational building blocks on the natural law. Not just the biogenic or biological nature of the human species, but also that embeddedness, those natural law precepts, which are inside of every human being, coming off the creative assembly line, so to speak. So we know that drugs are a confrontation with the natural order. We know that abortion is probably one of the gravest confrontations against natural, if not the gravest. But it's interesting to note that Thomas Aquinas said that of all the offenses against the natural order or against the natural law, the number one offense was sodomy. There was no greater offense because when you look at the odd seriatim listing of natural law precepts, the act of sodomy violates every single one of them. And these things are not only a culture clash, not only a theological clash, but they're a clash against the nature of the human species. And that's why it's so troubling to see the Democratic Party and other libertarians and other people say that these things don't matter, when in fact we're reaping of the fruits of it right now. We're moving into the zero birth age. We are finding marriage is collapsing. Divorce, and when they do get married, they get divorced very rapidly thereafter. We see the social consequences of this allegedly non-destructive behavior impacting us everywhere through the culture. The destruction of children. Oh, how I remember when Roe v. Wade was passed, how the proponents all talked about how children will be cared for and loved. And their family planning will allow them to be treated better than if we have to simply bear children. But the very reverse of that has happened. I don't think there's any place in history where children have been so desecrated as they are right now. So, yeah, I completely agree with your observations. But it's all in the end like a tidal wave of these of moral opprobrium attacking how the natural order should operate and how God intends us to operate in accordance with that, as he instructs in the natural law.
Absolutely. Anti-Catholic crime in America, myth or reality? Dr. Charles Nemeth is joining us here to have this conversation because it's an important one. Joe Resinello.
I'm going to throw some thoughts at both of you, and I'm interested in your comments. Things change. And this is the example I'm going to give you, and then it's going to lead to a question. I was recently watching a movie on the Ted Turner Network. It was about the political, basically, structure in California with Robert Redford. It was a movie in the 70s, and it was showing how California at that time was conservative. And Robert Redford, I forget the name of the movie, was running for senator, and he was a liberal.
I think it was the candidate, right?
There we go. Okay, yeah. And from my perspective, I was born in 1970. You know, obviously, in the 70s, I wasn't politically aware, but to see that perspective now is shocking because California's off the rails. It's off the rails. Why do I bring that up? Things change. They can change. Now, the question, the people who are absolutely persecuting, and you mentioned it, Doc, people who have religious ideas, not just Catholics, this could flip. Like the politics can change, maybe even by an act of God, but they can change. And then they could be coming after you. There was a time in Hollywood where if you were a communist, you couldn't get work. Now the very people who basically were persecuted are now persecuting others who have ideas that are different from them. How short-sighted this is. How, and this is just in a short period of time. We're not going back centuries. I'm just naming a few decades. I'm interested in both your comments. Not only is this anti-American, frankly, it's foolish thinking because things can change. And if they do, the very people who are persecuting others could be persecuted. First, you, Doc, what do you think?
Well, I think you're really talking about temporal affairs, how they can change. And they do change very rapidly. Because who would have ever envisioned we would be where we're at right now, 20 years ago, 10 years ago? No one would have anticipated the accelerating collapse of the West. I mean, it's simply staggering. And this is why Catholicism provides something that's perennial, something that's perpetual, something that is universally applied to all human beings. And that's why natural law theory is so crucial and consequential in Catholic thought, because when you follow the tenets of the natural law, then you're never going to fall off the wagon. You're always going to be doing the correct thing, never the wrong thing. But people today despise the natural law, particularly in academic circles where I work, not here at Franciscan, of course, but I can assure you that most of the secular institutions I work at, they don't want to hear about it because that wrecks all of their ability to change. The word you use was change. You don't change under natural law. And even if you went back to a person like, I don't know, Hubert Humphrey or Harry Truman, or even before, after that, even Ronald Reagan, we all agreed, we had universal consensus on certain things. They would have never entertained these insane ideas that we're living under today. They would have rejected them. Even if they were a Democrat or a Republican, it wouldn't have mattered. They would have all said same-sex marriage is off limits, or child molestation, or pedophilia. I've been reading about this recently. They're trying to decriminalize pedophilia now and turn that into something called minor attracted persons. And it's not a crime, but it's just a psychological condition. This is what they need. They have to abandon the natural law's rule on the care of offspring, the love and affection that's natural between a mother, father, and their children. And they have to destroy that. And so change will be possible. But if you follow natural law reasoning, which is the apex and the great intellectual tradition of Catholicism, you're not going to be able to do that. You are where you are. So temporal affairs will always let you down, but natural law precepts and jurisprudence will always maintain you.
Right. And that is exactly, I mean, again, this is not new in human history, rebelling against the natural law, rebelling against God. I will not serve. Seems to come to mind, all right? And then when you say that, well, what you have is a real satanic attitude, because Lucifer said that, all right? Oh, well, that's just religion. Well, you know, you have your own religion too. And where I'm going with that is to comment on Joe's comment, everything with the left, and it is, let's be clear, libertarians, like you said, Dr. Nemeth, they're not necessarily our friend, but I wouldn't quite call them our enemies. We can argue with them. I don't see libertarians running into Catholic churches and chopping off heads of statues. This is primarily coming from the left, okay, in my opinion. Everything is projection with them. Everything that they say, that they, especially with Catholics, what you Catholics do, you burn books. You burn books. You cancel people left and you cancel books left and right. You want to the Europeans want to ban the Gospel of St. John. Okay, so don't talk to you. Want to put pornographic material in libraries, but you don't want the Bible in there because somehow that violates the First Amendment or the Establishment Clause of the Constitution. You burn you Catholics. You burned witches. You burn people left and right. You'll forget about killing people. You'll take them out of their job. You'll have them canceled simply because they say marriage is between one man and one woman, or heaven forbid, there's only two genders. So they do the same thing. They project, and then they want to cry when it happens to them. But when they get in power, as Joe alluded to, all right, they do the same thing. And in fact, I would say they do it worse. I want to end with this. God, I've always said this about the left, Dr. Nemeth. God has 10 commandments. These people have 10,000. Starts with thou shalt, and there's a lot of thou shalt, not just thou shalt not. It's thou shalt be tolerant, thou shalt be diverse and inclusive and equitable, and all the BS that they come up with. So they have 10,000 commandments. God only has 10. And God's are easy to follow because they're not very confusing.
But the left, as well as the libertarian, engages in a form of tolerance that allows this slippery slope to collapse. That's essentially what happens. If you and I often encounter young people that are very, very tolerant, but yet they claim they're conservative because they don't want to make moral judgments. Catholicism is quite effective at making moral judgments. All you have to do is pick up the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And if you read it, it'll make moral judgments from one end to the other. And so does Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus has been turned into, I often tell my students this in class, Jesus is the new purple Barney. He loves everybody. He never makes judgments. But all you have to do is flip to any page in the New Testament, and you'll see how quickly the purple Barney Jesus disappears.
Jesus ain't Barney.
That's right.
Jesus ain't Barney.
I actually, my next project is going to be to write a book about Jesus and moral judgment, because I think the church has lost sight of this in many respects. They think Jesus is just a tolerant, loving, he loves you no matter what whatever you do and whatever you are. But this is not the Jesus of the New Testament. It is certainly not the Jesus and his philosophy and his theology. But in any event, I think this is why they hate us so much, because we stand our ground. We will say, this is not acceptable. This is something we don't want to live with. Part of the reason why so many people are upset with Pope Francis is because he's, and I'm not being personal to him at all, but he's been confusing about some of these issues. He's been very tolerant. He'll say one thing and then say, we have to love everyone. And it's his, I don't dislike anybody or hate people because they're engaged in bad behavior, but I will say that your behavior is bad. It is something that's not healthy for family, for culture, for society, for and this is why government despises people like me, and I'm sure they don't like you very much either. Because
they're busting out the guillotine for Joe and me. So
you're making judgments every day.
I want to comment real quick. I'm going to hand it over to Joe. We have time for another question before the break. Here's the thing. Don't tell me I'm not loving, because I don't want a 50-year-old naked man on the street during a so-called pride parade. In other words, where laws, Joe, I know, wants to get into some of these laws and the lack of application of laws. You let grown men walk in the street naked with and God help these idiots. I'm sorry. If you bring your 5-year-old kid to one of these things with all that goes on, you're an idiot. You're an idiot, and I have no sympathy for you.
Joe, who marches in the parade? NAMBLA marches in the parade. National.
Oh, yeah, well, those minor attracted persons.
Well, yeah, but NAMBLA is even larger than that. It's a much bigger group than that, and that's become legitimate, and there's a push to make it legitimate in the same way that certain philosophical schools are now pushing for bestiality to be completely, you know, victimless in a personal decision. So how can Catholicism stand its ground the way it does and not be hated? It's almost impossible to expect anything else. But over time, our truths will beat them.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the one thing I like to tell all these people. One thing you can't take away from us is hope, because we have Christ. Joe.
Before we get into a larger question, I just want to comment on the back and forth. Jesus loved everybody, but he always asked them to change and face truth. I always think about the woman at the well. He greeted her at the well. She was a sinner. That's why she was there in the middle of the day. It's the desert. It's hot at noon. She was an outcast, and Christ was a man. He went to talk to a woman, a Samaritan. He went out of his way to talk to the outcast. He loved her, but he told her what she was doing was wrong. See, that's what we do. You see, that's what's left out. There's a twisted version of what love is. I recently got into, and I'm not going to get into it. I try not to do this, but every once in a while I get sucked in.
You're a troublemaker, Joe.
I got into a back and forth with a deacon who, in my view, it basically embraces the spirit of Vatican II, which is, if you ask me, a distorted vision of what the document is, which has led us into a lot of trouble. It hasn't bore fruit. Anyway, in that discussion, what I was saying to him is, Deacon, you don't really love someone if you don't tell them the truth. Now, that doesn't mean you beat them over the head with it. But if my son is smoking marijuana at the kitchen table, I'm not going to pat him on the head and say, good boy. I'm going to say, what are you doing? This is not you. A, you shouldn't be doing that. And B, this is your home. This is a domestic church. It's an extension of the church. And you're desecrating it by doing that. I'm not going to call something that's wrong right. But you see, that's ignored. You're called a hater. You don't love me as I am. Of course, I don't love you as you are. I love you as you were born and created to be. Talk about that, because that's missed. You see, the Catholic Church has been that voice forever for all people. It's open for everybody. Come in, but you don't receive salvation on your terms. You simply don't. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way for me. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're right on the money on that particular statement. And of course, over my long career, I've dealt with a lot of people who are in prison. As a lawyer, I've represented many people in prison. I've been part of prison groups. These individuals, if they don't find God or they don't have a severe tragedy, never accept their responsibility. Because everyone else around them is giving them reasons why they're never responsible. This is another modern tendency, is to say that everyone who is bad is not essentially bad. And this is kind of an Aristotelian problem, that every being that God creates is good. Even the worst of people in their actions are still good. It's one of the great ironies of Catholicism, too, that it never judges somebody as essentially bad, but it will bifurcate the person from their activities and say your activities are bad and you must be told they're bad. Otherwise, you're not part of our church. You're not part of our group. You can claim you are. And this, of course, this is debates going on all over in the German Synod and in churches in the United States, where they're running around trying to make everybody feel welcome and we love you just the way you are. But this is not Catholicism. This is something else altogether. It's a kind of a pablum type religion, which tolerates everything under this aegis of Jesus not caring about what people do and don't do. So your example, the Good Samaritan story at the well, is a beautiful illustration of what we're trying to say here.
Dr. Nemeth, we're going to go to a break. I got one quick comment. And again, not because I am not. And one of the reasons I say I'm Catholic to people who are not Catholic is no, I'm not holier than anybody. In fact, I'm worse. That's why I am Catholic. But I will say this. The recognition that you need to change, that Joe was talking about, that you were just talking about, is I remember when I was away from the church for 20 years and I would pass on my way home, I would pass St. Peter the Apostle Church in Parsippany, New Jersey, every day. And every day God was telling me, go to confession. Go, and I would just drive by. And until one day I said, you know what? I got to get back to ABCs because my way doesn't work. I went into confession. My life changed like that. And I mean, like that. I'm still a work in progress. Don't get me wrong. But the change began immediately because people don't want to put things down. That's my larger point. I didn't want to put anything down. I liked being sexually liberated and going out and doing what I want and partying and all that stuff. And it got me nowhere in life. And that's what we're trying to say. That's why they hate the Catholic Church. That's why I don't care about what the elite say. I care about the people that they're trying to convince that they're correct. Dr. Charles Nemeth is joining us here at the Frontline with Joe and Joe. We're discussing anti-Catholic crime in America. Is it a myth or is it reality? On the Veritas Catholic Radio Network, we have another great segment. We're going to take a quick break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Catholic radio works. And now we have it here in Connecticut and New York. It's been seen around the country that there's no better tool for evangelization. Where there's Catholic radio, the folks who listen deepen their faith. Families are strengthened, parishes and communities flourish. So, let people know you're listening to Veritas, tell your friends to tune in, and let's make an impact here for Jesus and His church. This is Steve Lee for Veritas Catholic Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Frontline with Joe and Joe. Joe Pasillo, Joe Rasinello, we're way in the brief with Dr. Charles Nemeth. We're discussing today anti-Catholic crime in America. Is it a myth or is it a reality? That's what we're hashing out here. Joe Rasinello.
Doc, you're affiliated with John Jay, which is in New York City, and I'm sure you still have tons of friends there. I work there, and you've probably seen the arc of New York City, because I have. I still go in. It's a wreck. What I see in New York City, I actually work near John Jay, actually, in Midtown, and I walk through Hell's Kitchen every day. 9th Avenue, for people who don't know. It's insane. I kid you not. I see things I can't even believe. And believe me, I've seen a lot of things. A lot of that has to do with the DAs, not just in New York, but across the country. We have activist DAs that are promoting and or not doing their job and permitting such things to basically take place. I want to point to San Francisco. In June of 2023, a district attorney downgraded the charges against five people who desecrated the statue of a saint on a Catholic church on the grounds from felonies to misdemeanors. Okay, from a legal perspective, this is obvious to me. Why would he or she do that? Why?
Because that's the tendency all through the state of California is to decriminalize or minimize the severity of any crime, but they don't have any empathy at all for the churches. I mean, there's desecrations going all over the state of California, all in Chicago. Even in New York City, you've seen a wide array of desecrations, paint throwing, statue desecrations, altars, attacking altars. They don't see it from the same angle that we do. We see these as sacred sites. They deserve extraordinary protection. But when you're a temporal, amoral, a-religious district attorney and run by a governmental assembly in New York, which is antagonistic to religion as well, it's just not a high priority anymore. What would be a higher priority with them? Something like a hate crime. They'll just jump up and down about that, about how every act is racially intended. They're going to jump on the political bandwagons rather than the moral bandwagons. I don't think they really care. And I think they will see these acts also as part of the free speech movement to allow people to vent, okay, because they're so upset about the Dobbs decision. So this is natural in their venting mechanism because the abortion rights have been so restricted, which is absolutely absurd as well. Abortion is still with us, unfortunately, and I don't think it's going away under Dobbs. But in fact, in New York State and California, you can commit the act up till the date of birth. So I don't know why they're upset and why they allow this to go on, except they just hate what we stand for.
But it's so un-American.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's just so like, because like I always say, listen, there's a lot of people that offend me. I don't hurt anybody. Never. Because it's wrong. Like, and this is, it's so un-American. And what I would say is this, why don't the governor step in or the federal government? Then you're a fascist.
Are you talking about Gavin Newsom? He's
no, but I'm just talking, then the president should.
Kathy Hochul? I mean, these are enemies of religion. They're enemies of the religious mindset. They have no interest in religion. They just want to desecrate religion all the time. It's all over the place. So I think, again, if this is your enemy, this is what you have to do to your enemy. You have to allow people to attack. Look how many abortion facilities have been prosecuted at the DOJ in Washington, D.C. Hundreds and hundreds. Anytime you spit on the ground next to an abortion facility, they'll send the SWAT teams out to round up anybody that does something like that. But if the pro-life facilities are desecrated, burned, broken into, destroyed, they sit there with this passive timidity and do absolutely nothing because it doesn't fit their agenda. Abortion is what fits their agenda. So anything that gets in the way of that, they are going to allow it to go on. And yeah. This is the same thing with homeless people and the same thing with the tent cities that you find everywhere. Nobody's making any moral judgments about their behavior. They always have these excuses for them. And yet these people are riddled with vice. They're suffering from drug addiction. They have all kinds of checkered past, all kinds of difficulties. But you're not allowed to say they're not right. You have to say they're sick and you have to help them. So, again, I always talk about the fact that moral judgment is a very important part of Catholic tradition, and our culture in general has lost the capacity to do that.
Dr. Charles Nemeth, I'll say this to you along the lines of what you said. go watch any, you know, the big thing in the last 15 years is zombie movies. Go watch a zombie movie. Then go on YouTube and do a search of Kensington.
Oh, I've been there. UK in Philadelphia. It's awful. Absolutely awful.
And there's nothing that distinguishes the two. The only difference is the zombies kind of move a little bit. All right. But they're all kind of, you think that somebody, this was a scene from a movie, but this is the destruction in this case that's caused by drugs. I'm sure sexual liberation has something to do with it also. Okay. Cause the two are intertwined because both of them feed into a mindset. All right. And prey on our weaknesses. And these people walking around the street, it's horrible. Let me ask you this. Joe and I, well, put it like this. Our pastor recently reminded us in a homily that of the very famous line that evil can only progress when good men do nothing. All right. When good people do nothing. I think that speaks a lot about what we're talking about here. You talk about DAs, you're talking about Kathy Hochul, you're talking about Gavin Newsom, you're talking about Merrick Garland, who obviously targeted Mark Houck. That was blatant. It was so obvious a five-year-old could recognize that he was targeted by the Justice Department. Don't care what he says. But it just seems, Dr. Nemeth, and I don't mean to sound so pessimistic, from a leadership level, even down to lay people, nobody's got their fist in the air yelling, this is an outrage. We are. All right. And there's a handful.
Yeah.
But we need a lot. We need a lot more of that. And I'm sorry to say, maybe not so sorry to say, it's got to come from the unified voice of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. That'll wake some of these SOBs up.
Well, but they're not even capable at this point of saying that Joe Biden is a person who should be rejected communion, given all his policies, which incur automatic excommunication. He's been promoting policies which are so antagonistic to Catholic doctrine and the magisterial teachings of the church, but they don't want to say anything because they don't want to offend anybody, or they don't want to bother anyone, or they don't want to make, again, it's even our own church, we're incapable of making moral judgments. We're told that we're not allowed to close the border because it's uncompassionate, because it shows how we don't care about the poor. We're hearing about this all the time rather than saying, well, some of these people coming across the border are dangerous. And we have to have, in order to have an orderly society, we have to have a border that is defensible. And right now we don't have one, even though they keep telling us we do. It's this unwillingness to stand firm together on basic things of human life, which is missing everywhere. Even the parish that I go to, sometimes I get frustrated, not because I don't love my parish, I don't love my priest and all the rest of it. I want to hear them stand up there and say, this can't be tolerated. We cannot do this anymore. We're not allowed to do this. But instead you hear, you know, the more the middle of the road, I don't want to offend anybody kind of stuff. And that's a slippery slope that we've slid so far down. It's going to take some time to come back from it. So, yeah, there's just no moral consensus anymore. And as long as that is true, anything goes. And that's what you're living with today.
And that's, I'm going to hand it over to Joe. And that's what people, I think we could appeal to people who might not even be Catholic, or even maybe let's call them more liberal Catholics, and say, that's what you have to understand. If there's no moral boundaries, if there is no God, as Dostoevsky said, then all things are permissible. When you could tell a three-year-old boy that he could be a girl, then what you're saying is, yes, all things are permissible. Joe Racinello.
Let's talk about the Mark Houck situation, because people may not know. Mark Houck would go to an abortion clinic, because I think this is a great example, and he would protest legally, peacefully. So he's there with his son.
Well,
and
he said rosaries, right?
at abortion clinics, pro-life. Anyway.
That's a dangerous thing, that rosary.
Yeah, it is. It is, actually, in all honesty. So he's there, and a guy gets in his son's face. Now, I wasn't there, so I'm going to just play neutral. I don't know what the guy said to his son. I don't know how threatening he was to him. I wasn't there. But Mark Houck got physical with that guy for whatever reason. I wasn't there, so I'm not going to make a general statement. And he pushed him. So a warrant is put out for his arrest. Now, this is a guy who has 7 kids. No excuse for violence, though. No excuse. I don't know what took place, so I'm not going to take any sides. But there was violence put forth by Mark. Okay. His lawyers contacted him, and he was going to turn himself in. Now, say I was the chief of police in that area, or I was in charge of the marshals. You know, I've been around. You get a good judge for people. He's not a terrorist. He's not going to show up at the door with an AK-47. So what am I going to do? I'm going to show up with a couple vans. I'm going to go to the door, and I'm going to knock on it. And I'm going to say, hey, Mark, I got to take you in. Please get your coat and come with me. And I'll bet you he would have. I'll bet you. And if that was handled in that way, and I was in charge of the people who did that, and this is not talking as a Catholic. This is just talking as a person who's been around, has a pretty good sense of people. I would have been like, you did what? You went into this guy's house like he was selling cocaine to the whole state with automatic weapons in front of 7 kids and his wife, and you drag him out. Are you out of your mind? And the mainstream media doesn't care. The people of America don't care. And you know something? Again, I wasn't there. Maybe he was wrong. I don't know. I don't know what took place, and I'm not going to make a judgment.
Joe, I want Dr. Nemeth's comments, but I do want to just add one thing that is important to what you just said. The civil suit against him was also dismissed, and the local charges in Philadelphia by a liberal DA were dismissed. And after that, he knew that he was possibly going to get arrested, and the DOJ knew that he was willing to turn himself in. I think that's important for context.
That's
important for context. They all knew that the charges were dismissed, and this guy already decided he said, if they're going to come for me, I'll turn myself in. He told them that through his attorneys, and then they sent in a couple dozen agents with the long rifles. Dr. Nemeth.
Well, this is intimidation, and it is only exerted against pro-life people. It's not exerted against pro-choice people, that's for sure. And this is, laying out the groundwork for anybody who disagrees with our agenda. And so in this case, it happens to be a pro-life Catholic, and pro-life Catholics are going to be treated much more poorly than any of their counterparts. I mean, look what happened to Joan Andrews, who I consider one of the bravest women here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who was essentially manhandled by Pittsburgh police, thrown in jail for months over doing what? Just saying the rosary on Liberty Avenue in town? I mean, this was a very dark day in American history. And these dark days are increasing, particularly when you consider the First Amendment is an express, explicit, absolute right under the Constitution. Thank God the Supreme Court has been protecting the right to free expression of religion, increasingly so. I just wrote a commentary about this where I saw at least 7 or 8 cases in the last 10 years where the Supreme Court has beat down the government over its religious oppression. And it always seems to be people who are conservative in their religion, never people that are liberal in their religion. It's a very sad commentary. And I know that the people who are ordered to do this are in great ambivalence, but it also is going to require them as a group, and I often talk about this, there needs to be a revolt inside of justice agencies themselves. You know, a large portion of police and fire are Catholics. They need to stand up and say, we're not doing this. This isn't right. And people say, well, they'll get fired. Well, maybe they ought to not do a job where you browbeat and, marginalize good people like this. If this is what your job is, why are you doing it in the first place? I know that the rank and file in most organizations are good, but their leadership right now at the top in most justice agencies, particularly at the federal level, have been completely corrupted. But they have to stand up, and not just whistleblowers, but they just have to learn how to civilly disobey. No, I'm not doing that. We'll bring them in, but we're not bringing them in like this. But they don't. They're all passive. They're all unwilling to make judgments about these things, too, such as, am I being asked to carry out an unjust action? There's very little of that thinking that goes on. That's what we do here at Franciscan in my criminal justice program. The entire program is rooted in Catholic natural law tradition. And our motto is we do the right thing because it is the right thing.
I will tell you this, Dr. Nemeth, from my own experience, and I'm going to hand it over to Joe. I've been down many times in front of Planned Parenthood of Greater New York down on Mott Street, down a couple blocks away from Old St. Patrick's Cathedral. If the Catholic prayer warriors praying the rosary on the sidewalk acted like the animals, Joe doesn't like when I call people names, but I was there, and men and women acting like outright animals. And by the way, so angry that they could not provoke us into some reaction that they might have wanted us to react with, particularly violence or even opening our mouths. Just kept praying our rosaries, just kept praying with Father Fidelis and the sisters and all of it, right? If we acted like them, if they were standing on the sidewalk with their stupid chants and just standing there and we acted like them, we would have all been arrested.
Absolutely.
Every one of us would have been arrested. Absolutely. In the meantime, they could get right in front of the, right up in the face of a sister of life or a Franciscan sister of the renewal and point their finger. And I'm talking about men getting in the face of women, sisters religious, okay? And nothing happens. You don't know how it, I'm an Italian from Newark, New Jersey, okay? And I will admit here, I can't tell you the level of anger that I had, but we had to restrain ourselves. But why? Because if we reacted to them, we'd be arrested. And of course, the media would pick up on it and say, look at those violent Catholics. So I just wanted to point out that double standard, because at least me personally, I've seen it firsthand. I've seen how they act and nothing happens to them. Joe, we got a look. Go ahead, Dr. Nemeth, quick comment.
I was just going to say what to me is more tragic, aside from everything you've said, is that we have police commanders, supervisors, people in justice agencies who run these events and set policy, and they are completely blank. They have absolutely no moral dimension to them at all. What they do have is this passionate, obsessive, fixated state on advancing abortion, advancing gays, advancing drugs, instead of saying, my gosh, look at these people on the street. Look at these nuns saying the rosary. How could we ever push the system towards them? These are living saints, these right. people. I know I've encountered the Sisters of Life. I mean, how dangerous are they?
Oh, they're probably on Merrick Garland's, you know, list. I will say this, let me hand it over to Joe real quick. I saw those cops. Now, in the beginning, when this, they call themselves Planned Parenthood of Greater New York or whatever they are, pro-choice New York, they're just a bunch of radicals. When they started doing it, the cops didn't know what to do. I think they were a little bit like deer in the headlights when all the confrontations for that, this going back like maybe 4 or 5 years. But when the cops got their feet under them, you had to see the face of these cops. In other words, I'm talking about the rank and file, the cops, and a couple of officers, too, that really got in their faces and told them and backed them off from the curb and told them that side of the street is yours. That side of the street. You want to yell? You yell from over there, and really kind of drew a wedge and did their job. Joe Rasinello.
I want to talk a little bit, and I don't want to get into a bashing section, about it. But the bishops, what could they do better? There was a time, let's talk about the production code in Hollywood, where if Hollywood put out a certain movie, the bishops would say, believe it or not, people, this is true. This is in the 50s. They would say, I'm going to tell my people that they can't see that film and you're going to lose money. You see, Doc, I'm going to be honest with you. I work in the corporate world. I know how the world works. And a lot of the virtue signaling that's going on out there is just that. It's not deep-rooted virtue. What moves people is money. And I personally think the bishops and the leadership of the church, lay organizations like the Catholic League do it, TFP does it. We have to do it, but the church has to do it. I'm going to tell you how I would do it if I was the Cardinal of New York. If you were breaking, I'm going to use a Jersey term, my stones about a certain deal, I would march into your office with a piece of paper. And know what I would say? Do you see how much money I save you with free services? Look at what I do for this city, and you're going to let go a desecration of my churches. You're not going to protect my priests. You're going to allow this nonsense. And I would do it in this tone. And I save you millions. How dare you? And I'd march out. And frankly, that's exactly the conversation that they understand is money. You have to lay it down and basically say, we're not going to support this. Period. End of story. That's how unions get movement. That's how all political movements move. It uses leverage. The Catholic Church and the bishops have to do that because you're a shepherd. Just like I have to protect my children in my house. That's my responsibility, and God will judge me accordingly. Well, he's going to judge you. You will be judged based upon that. And I'm not speaking for God. I'm telling you the truth. So what are your thoughts? That's what should take place.
You bring up a point that I think I would add to, and that's this issue of virtue signaling. Even when they lose money, it's not virtue signaling. Look at Disney. The company is hemorrhaging. And why is it hemorrhaging? Because it wants to maintain its strong and alleged affiliation with the gay lifestyle. Why is Anheuser-Busch hemorrhaging? Which it is. It's laying hundreds and hundreds of factory workers off on their assembly lines. Not because they're virtuous, but because they're dedicated to vice. So they put that transgendered Dylan Mulvaney on the can of Bud Light and lose and lose and lose. I think they said they've lost almost $17 billion since that event took place. But it doesn't seem to stop them because they think that this is their new morality. This is what they think is correct. And anybody who disagrees is a homophobe or filled with hate or a transphobe. And all those things are, even though they're losing money, they're still doing the same things, just as Hollywood does. What they do to Snow White apparently was a Cinderella. I'm sorry, the new Cinderella movie. Yeah, apparently.
I think it's Snow White, but go ahead.
Okay, but anyways, the prince is no longer the person who is seeking to fall in love with her. He's a stalker, okay? And he's an obsessed crazy that's going after, I guess it is Snow White. I haven't seen it. But in any event, these people, they'll bankrupt their own companies to advance the immorality of which they believe. It's almost a form of such crazy irrationality. That's one of the great gifts that St. Thomas gives us. When he talks about the natural law, he always says that the natural law is always rational. It's always built and grounded in reason. And everything else that's built in will and emotion and appetites and senses is totally unreliable. And I think you see a lot of that everywhere. Now, what do our bishops do? Well, there's a, you know, we were blessed to have Salvatore Corleone here last year at our graduation. I almost started crying. This is a man that's unafraid. He says exactly what has to be said and does it without any reservation whatsoever. He's a prince of the church that should be advanced. I wish he could be the Pope because I think he's a man that has no nervousness about his convictions. Same with Strickland. They're not nervous at all, but most of them are politically in the middle. They tend to be afraid. There are more good bishops. I don't know them all. I was just pointing out two of my heroes, Strickland and Corleone, because it is their capacity to stand there and say to you and still love you, you're offline. You're not in the right place. You're doing the wrong thing. And if our bishops are not strong on these moral questions, how is the population supposed to act? I mean, they are the shepherds, as you point out, Joe, that they're supposed to teach us. And if they're sitting in the middle with kind of a muddled, muffling view on these great moral issues of our time, it's not healthy for the church.
I want to just comment on that because that's what a shepherd does. That's why you have the crozier, the stick. It's to protect. You see, that's part of the job. And this is, I'm getting back to that conversation with that deacon. You're in the wrong job. I'm going to say it straight out. You are in. We're looking for the few and the proud. I am not interested in the lukewarm. By the way, neither is Jesus. He said it, and I'm going to echo it. If you don't want to do that, you're in the wrong job. That goes for a married man. I didn't get married. I told my wife this, my hand up. I didn't get married to go to hell. What do I mean by that? We have to be open to life. We are open to life. That's part of our vows. I did not get married to go to hell. Well, you took vows too. And part of those vows is to protect your people. I have vows, and God will judge me based upon them. You're in the wrong job. You are simply in the wrong field.
Joe, we're almost coming up on the end of the show. Dr. Charles Nemeth is joining us here at the front line of Joe and Joe. We're discussing anti-Catholic bias in crime in America. Is it a myth or reality? Dr. Nemeth, we have about a minute and a half. Maybe you want to address that. A couple final comments for our audience. And if our audience could follow you anywhere on social media or anything like that, let us know.
Well, I would say I agree with your basic thesis that there is an anti-Catholicism that has resurrected itself. You certainly see it in the school choice argument. This is something we haven't argued about. Ironically, school choice really benefits non-Catholics more than Catholics. But the essence of freedom is to allow our tax dollars to follow where our children go to school. But as you know, the government is so antagonistic. I mean, we could talk about so many other policies that are emanating from government that are anti-Catholic, anti-Christian, anti-Jewish, anti-Orthodox. They just don't want to deal with the transcendent reality, which is what makes us what we are. All the rest of the temporal stuff is meaningless. This is one of Cicero's great gifts to Western civilization, when he talked about how human laws are really meaningless without the higher power. His higher power is not as we thought about it, but he certainly believed there was one true God. There were other gods, of course, at the Roman time frame, but he always also touted the rule of nature and how if we do things in contravention to nature, we will suffer a price. And I think both of those trends we're seeing everywhere. We're seeing the dismantling of religious thought and religious expression, even though we're seeing some bright signs, too, from the Supreme Court on that question. And we're also seeing a general antagonism to the natural order, which is sprinkling everywhere, every place.
Absolutely.
In terms of where I am, I'm here. You could all check me out at Franciscan University and our criminal justice program at this. And we also have a wonderful Center for Criminal Justice, Law and Ethics, where we train lawyers and judges who come here from all over, who take courses from us. I just taught a course in Aquinas on crime. I'm doing a course on happiness for lawyers based on Aristotle and Aquinas. And that's already got a lot of registrants. And we try to spread the mission of this wonderful institution.
Dr. Charles Nemeth, it's always a pleasure talking to you, brother. As you know, anytime we come up with a topic, Joe's going to reach out to you. We're going to have you back on the show and have another important and quite frankly, a fun conversation with Dr. Charles Nemeth. So thank you, brother. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You are the most lively two people.
We're just crazy.
And I enjoy every minute of it.
So. Thank you so much. And thank you all out there for joining us on the Veritas Catholic Radio Network. And remember, until the next time, that our conversation is your conversation. And that conversation is going on everywhere. We'll talk to you soon.